Welcome to Minnesconsin.
Welcome to Wiscasota.
Whatever you call it, Minnesota and Wisconsin are neighbors in a unique corner of the upper Midwest. It's a place of winding rivers, deep blue lakes, endless trails.
And don't forget the cheese.
I'm Mark Niklosky, a lifelong Minnesota journalist from Duluth who's traveled the world and knows my home state is more than snow, cold, and losing football teams.
I'm Keith Uhlig. I live in Wausau, right in the center of the state, and I write for the newspaper here.
Join us as we explore all the beauty, culture, and adventure in the great states of Wisconsin and Minnesota.
If you live here, we'll take you beyond the farm fields and Twin Cities nightlife.
If you're visiting, we'll show you all the places that make our state special.
Join us on our adventures in Wiscasota.
You mean Minnesconsin.
No, Wiscasota.
Minnesconsin.
Wiscasota.
Minnesconsin.
Wiscasota.
Okay, there's Jerry and Earl taking us into another Minnesconsin podcast. Thanks, Jerry and Earl and their bartender polka. I'm Mark Niklosky in Duluth, Minnesota.
I'm Keith Uhlig. I'm in Wausau, Wisconsin.
And today, Keith, we're going to get a little wet.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I want to get wet, Mark.
It's a beautiful summer day, and we're going to take a dive into Lake Country of Minnesconsin and Wiscasota, and boy, you know, that's what we're legendary for, right?
Yep. Cabin culture. Cabin culture is the name of the game for us folks up here.
Yep, and you know, for our listeners who live in Florida or California, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about what happens in cabin culture sometimes, and of course, Keith and I are very privileged to have cabins in our lives, and I think anybody who lives in Minnesconsin and Wiscasota, you know, should appreciate that if you have a cabin to go to on the weekends and enjoy the lake. But sometimes other things happen at the lake that aren't too enjoyable.
Yeah. You don't own a cabin, do you, Mark?
Well, my granddad owned the cabin, and you know, the cabin has been in the family for decades. Yes. It's a beautiful spot in Burnett County, Wisconsin.
Yeah. That I've been to that cabin, and it's a great place.
It is, and you know, a lot of childhood memories of, you know, swimming and raking leaves and running around in the forest and playing ball out on the back 40 and, you know, grandma cooking bratwurst and corn on the cob, all that kind of stuff. A lot of fun memories up there, and I still enjoy going up there and just sitting by the lake and watching the birds.
Yeah. I mean, it can be very, very relaxing. Although I have to say it is not something that I've ever been tempted to like own or be a part of myself. Most people that I know that have cabins, they're always talking about, I got to go to the cabin, I got to pull the dock for the winter, or I got to go to the cabin, I got to mow the lawn, or I don't know, pull the well point. There are all kinds of stuff, and I go, man, it's just not worth the work.
It's a lot
I'm not
of work,
sure.
Right?
Yeah. I like to, what you need to do is you have to have a friend with a cabin, and that's you. That's why I hang out with you.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about the dark side of cabin culture, it sounds like, Keith.
The dark side, yes.
We've each had a few incidents at cabins over the years, and Keith, it sounds like you've came perilously close to death a couple times.
Yes.
While enjoying the lake.
Yeah, three times, actually. In our green room discussion before the podcast, I was telling you about my first bad cabin experience was at, this is on Pier Lake, which is north of Wausau. It was owned by my great uncle. But it was, we have a kind of a sprawling but close-knit family where two brothers, my grandpa and my great uncle, married two sisters, my grandma and my great aunt. So I was close with my great uncle and my great aunt, and they had a cabin on Pier Lake, and we would go there a lot as a family and extended families with cousins and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And My very first memory of this was I was like 6 years old. I was really afraid of water. But I screwed up my courage, Mark, and I walked out onto the dock, and the end of the dock was held up by these 2 50-gallon drums, and I walked out onto one of the drums, and I was looking into the lake. It was kind of a this lake. The water quality was good, but it was kind of brownish. I think a lot of iron in the water up there, and I fell in. And it frightened me to no end, and I just started crying, and I run up to the cabin. Meanwhile, the adults were up in the living room of the cabin looking out the picture window, and one of my extended adult relatives mocked me. She was kind of imitating my walk with my arms out because I was wet and crying and all that. Yeah, I've never forgiven her for that. She's a fine person, but that to me is mean.
You're
So I
still
don't.
bitter. You're still
I'm
bitter.
bitter. I'm bitter about that,
Still
and
bitter.
it casts a pall on cabins. All cabins now have some kind of a bit of a dark edge to my in my mind.
Well, that's something, you got to take to the grave with you, I think.
I really, I think the healthy thing, Mark, would be to forgive and forget. I guess maybe I've forgiven, but I haven't forgotten.
Well, I guess I have cabin stories, dark side. I think I can remember a water skiing incident in our cabin, which it was bound for disaster right from the beginning, as the softball team was up there, softball weekend at the cabin, and we had a tournament in Grantsburg, and of course I think we lost both games immediately, so we had no other choice but to go back to the cabin and do some water skiing. And this was a time, in our early 20s, I guess, and
Yes.
things got a little festive, and one of the guys decided he was going to water ski naked. And
Okay.
of course, the problem was that,
As one does.
the problem was that the next door cabin, there was a youth group there of church kids.
Okay.
And
Co-ed, I would imagine.
there was a church youth group, and Charlie got in the water. Nobody really noticed when he got in the water. Maybe I don't remember the details, but all I remember was the motorboat taking off and Charlie slowly rising out of the water. And he's mooning everybody, including the youth group next door, who was watching as everybody was cheering. Of course, the entire softball team was cheering Charlie on. And I think some of the kids ran back to the cabin, and they were probably permanently scarred like you.
Yeah, who would? So on their podcast, they're talking about lake culture, and they're
Right.
saying, "Who would do such a thing with small children next
That's right.
door?"
So that was a funny incident, I guess, and not so funny if you're a church group
At
for the
least
quiet day at
Charlie
the
didn't
cabin.
mock anybody, though.
Yes, he was just very proud of his rear end, I guess. I remember another boating incident too, at somebody else's cabin, where I happened to be at the helm of a large pontoon boat on a lake that I was not familiar with, somewhere near Mille Lacs, Wisconsin. And this is my friend Tony's cabin and his parents' cabin and his parents' pontoon boat. And we were driving around the lake at a high rate of speed, and
As one does.
A great distance from the shoreline, and all of a sudden, we're flying along, and all of a sudden we hear boom, boom, and a
Oh
horrible
my God.
scratching noise, and Tony said to me, "Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, there's high rocks around here. It's
oh yeah, but this reminds me."
Yeah. And of course, we completely trashed the lower unit of the outboard motor on the pontoon, and that wrecked the rest of the trip. We wound up having to haul the like 60 horsepower motor back to the Twin Cities and break the news to Tony's dad, who was not too happy about it.
I'm sure. Do you still owe Tony's dad for the repair bill?
No, I paid the repair bill. Yeah,
you did.
And if you knew Tony's dad, you would know that you would pay the repair bill.
I have met Tony's dad, I believe.
Oh, yes, you have. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was a big man, and he was not gonna, you know, you don't want to mess with him. And
how old were you with this incident?
Probably right around the same. This was probably two summers later, you know.
Yeah. Was there you know, celebration involved in that too? It doesn't sound like that had
not as much as the softball team. Yeah, that was that took a chunk out of my summer funds, that's for sure, to get the lower unit rebuilt. But I was not banned from the cabin, and but my dad banned Charlie from the cabin after hearing about the naked water skiing incident.
Your dad banned Charlie. Did he have some sort of legal notice? There's no trespass, Charlie. No trespassing.
Right. Oh man. So you had a water skiing incident too, it sounds like, or some kind of modified water skiing incident.
Well, this was back in the day, I think. So I was a little older at the same cabin, but still the mocking of the crying was bitter in my throat, but I was easing it with some hijinks out on the water. We had my uncle had a boat with a motor on and some water skis, but also he or someone up there, maybe my cousins, designed this sort of wakeboard, but it was just a piece of plywood, and it was attached to a rope to the boat, and it was grand fun. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it, except you really needed to keep the front end of this board out of the water. And what happened with my incident is that I think we were going around a curve, as I remember. You know how you do that arc, and there were some waves, and a corner of that board caught a wave, and it just shot down to the bottom of the lake, dragged me down. So I think I still taste that iron, you know, that iron taste, and it like brought the boat to a screeching halt, which boats should never come to a screeching halt.
No.
And but everything was okay. I mean, we got it up. Everything was okay. That was not a traumatic accident, but it was I think that actually might have been the last time I've ever water skied. I tried it once since then and I couldn't get up.
Yeah.
And I think that might have been it. I was probably about 14 or 15.
Ooh, yeah, that's probably your peak water skiing years there, you know, and
sure is.
So you retired after that incident.
Yes, yeah, that was it. You know, you look.
Was there rescue involved, Keith? I mean, it sounds terrible.
No, I came popping up, coughing. You know how it is. You know how the water just like rushes into your head, you know, through your sinuses. I think it comes out your eyes, like your eyes kind of want to bulge out, maybe. It's like in both incidents, I just remember this sort of reddish brown color. That's what I remember, and that was sort of that color of that water up there.
Yeah. Oh, and then did you have the proper flotation device on? And
Yeah, we did, we were safe that way. Yeah.
Okay. And they were able to retrieve the boogie
board. Yeah, I don't remember how, how did we do that? I don't remember that part. I think we had to back the boat up, or you know, circle the boat around to pull that board out of the sand. I think it happened quite frequently, actually.
Ooh, into the sand like that, yeah.
Yeah, the bottom.
Man. Ugh. Well, I can think of another cabin culture story that, you know, doesn't really involve water skiing, high-powered boats or anything like that. My grandpa had a tradition where he was very opposed to snakes.
I'm with him.
Yeah, and so is my sister, who's deathly afraid of even garter snakes.
Yeah, me too.
Well, you know, Grandpa grew up in another era, you know, and I suppose snakes probably, you know, he has a rural background and farming, and snakes aren't good for the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So one time somebody found a snake or something lurking around below the dock, and he was able to capture it, you know, with a rake. And
in the water it was?
Yeah, it was swimming around in the water.
That's
where it's we see a lot of snakes in the water up at the cabin.
Yikes.
And I'm not sure what kind they are. I don't think they're poisonous or deadly or anything like
Copperheads.
That.
Copperheads.
Yeah. And water moccasins.
Yes, that's the way. Yeah, water moccasins.
But Grandpa had this tradition where, you know, he would catch the snake alive, and then he would pick it up by its tail. Okay, and then he would walk the snake out onto the edge of the dock, and he had this trick down. I don't know how he did it, but he would whip the snake, and the head would fly off.
Oh,
30 feet into the water.
Oh my God, that's gross.
That's what he did with a snake.
I don't know what's worse. The snake or the image of a snake's head flying through the air into the water. I don't know. I'm afraid I'm going to ban myself from your cabin, Mark. I can't go back there now.
Because there's headless or heads floating around, snake heads floating around.
Well, there's snakes at all.
Oh, yeah, I see.
This is my I have to say, this is not going to be a popular opinion, but I'm just not a lake guy. I mean, lakes are pretty. They're fine, you know, especially, you know, they're important for our ecology, et cetera, and waterfowl. But lakes are just kind of boring. I mean, after you go around it once or twice, then only bad things can happen because you have to make it more exciting, right? So I'm a river guy. I enjoy rivers much more than lakes.
Well, Keith, your anti-lake stance is rocking Wiscasota right now. People
I know
are
it's going to be. Yeah,
their
I can feel the tension building in the.
But you know, I mean, we also have some great rivers too. So
yes.
That's you're right. I
like rivers.
I like rivers too. Yeah. Yeah.
Although I have to say, well, I was planning. So we're recording this at the end of April. I just to let folks know. And my plan this year, and this is actually in part because of you, Mark, is to do some wild swimming. And that means, you know, going out to lakes and swim in them. And I was thinking I want to do some cycling I want to bike to a lake and then swim in the lake and then eat a lunch, maybe drink a beer, and then cycle back home. But now I'm rethinking this strategy with the snake kind of thing. It's not, I'm not cool with the snakes.
I think snakes are pretty rare in Minnesota.
I haven't seen any snakes in lakes. So.
Especially snake attacks. I haven't seen too many, heard of anybody dying from a snake attack in Minnesota, you know.
That's true.
And mostly they're in the grass, you know, they're not in the water.
Yeah, that's where, ooh, the water stuff, man. Ooh,
I like your idea, though, of doing some wild swimming.
I think that was your idea, actually, Mark. Didn't you say? And something, hey, you should do this.
Yeah, that probably it sounds like something I would come up with for Whiskey Soda. And it would kind of be a summer activity like your wild skating. So now you've got wild skating.
Yes. Yeah, the opposite of, yes, the summer alternative of the wild skating. And that's, for skating, lakes are the best. So I should say, winter lakes are fantastic.
Yeah, there's no snakes.
Right, no snakes. The other thing, when I was up at Pier Lake, one of the things that my family did regularly each year was go raspberry picking. And of course, they told me about the bears. And I was deathly afraid of bears. So I did go out raspberry picking, and I enjoyed it, but I was always sort of afraid of a bear. While I was afraid that I was going to be eaten by bears.
You'd run into a bear in the blueberry patch.
Yeah, never did, but yeah.
There's always a chance.
It took me a long time to get over my fear of bears. I did get over the fear of water. And I have not, I don't know that I'll ever get over the fear of snakes.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, you can, you and my sister can form a club.
Yeah.
Oh, the Minnesotans.
Oh, that story. Ooh, my God.
I've permanently scarred you again, Keith, from cabin culture. Oh, bro. All right, Keith, I think it's time to wrap things up here, and it looks like you're going to head out for a walk with Henry?
Yep. Or something else,
or
maybe.
Or something else. So you're going to head out the door and off into Minnesotan area. So we'll say see you later, Keith, and we'll be back next week.
Okay. Bye. Hello, Wiscasotans. So, we've got a field report here. Henry and I are out for an unusual evening walk. It's Monday, May 2nd, in the mid-50s. And the reason we didn't get out in the morning this morning, because it was just pouring. It was like raining all day. So, Henry and I decided to do a little stay at home, indoor, slight stretching. And I'm kind of glad we did, because now we're out at the evening, the sun is going down, there's a line of clouds off to the west, leaving that kind of streak of light in the western horizon. I like that. But the frogs must be singing the night in, singing the day away. And they are just loud. It's the first time I've heard them this loud this spring so far. They must be hanging out on the island down there on Lake Wassa, just celebrating, having a party, singing. Gotta love them, huh? Take care, Wiscasotans. Ooh, did you hear that? Cranes. They're saying goodbye to the day too. Huh. The sounds that in the evening are so different than the sounds in the morning. I guess I don't go out enough in the evening. I'm mostly tired and just sitting there watching TV, reading. I think I gotta get out in the evenings more. That's gotta be high on my priority to-do list. What do you think, Henry? Henry says, yes. Okay. Take care, Wiscasotans. See you out there. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Minnesotan Wiscasota Podcast with your hosts Mark Niklowski and Keith Ulig. Got a question for Mark or Keith? You can email them at mnwipodcast@gmail.com. That's mnwipodcast@gmail.com. Or you can share your thoughts on the Minnesotan Wiscasota Facebook page.